I don't know the actual mileage of this locomotive itself, but it will be numbers of millions of miles.
That's staggering to think that, isn't it?
To give you an example, a modern high-speed passenger, express passenger train could travel, say, 1 million miles in a couple of years, something like that.
So how big are the engines in capacity?
12 inches bore and 11 inches stroke.
Big?
Big.
There's a door here. Now, I guess through that door is the thing that makes all this work.
That's right.
The beast in the machine, you could say.
That's it.
Shall we go and have a look? Is it safe to have a look?
Yep, certainly can.
Now, it's a bit like being on board a submarine here.
Well, I was about to say, the door is actually described as, it's typically the door you would find between the compartments on a submarine, but just without the watertight locks.
Okay, permission to come aboard, Captain.
Welcome, sir.
Let's go through. It's a bit of a tight squeeze, isn't it?
This is the fairly easy bit.
Is it? Oh, right.
You have to be careful above your head. There are lots of air tanks and valves and pipework and things like that. We have a 12-cylinder diesel engine, which is of a type that was originally designed for marine service, and it's been adapted for rail traction. So you have this diesel engine is made up of two banks of six cylinders in a straight line, mounted side by side in the locomotive. And they're geared together to a large central shaft, which then drives a big DC generator.
Now you've got sort of light bulbs here in metal holders giving us a sort of yellow glow. It's not very bright in here, is it?
That's right.
Now I understand these engines were built in Barrow. Is that right? So there's interesting Cumbrian connection with this engine.
It is. Now the reason for this is that the engines are from Sulzer Brothers, their offices were in London, but they built the engines in Barrow under licence at Vickers Shipyard. And as I say, the engines are originally adapted from a marine design. This particular engine is also turbocharged.
Right.
So above our heads in the middle of the engine room, there is a rather sizable turbo, a lot larger than the one you would get in your car.
So how much power do these things kick out?
Well, when they were originally designed, they were designed to produce 2,750 horsepower.
Now, we're going to have a go at starting this, which is terribly exciting.
Mm-hmm.
But where on earth do you start? Do you put a key in? Do you push a button? What do you have to do to get this to go?
Well, what we'll do is we'll return to the other end of the locomotive, and then we'll go through the procedure for starting. Going to switch on the battery isolating switch.
Something's happened, I heard a bell ring. And how much do you have to pay for something like this?
Now that would be a secret.
Well, it's 116 tonnes, so you could times that by the scrap value of steel to give you a ballpark figure.
That's right. To give a rough idea of a scrap value of a locomotive of this size, because you've got both the steel contents, there's aluminium, there's copper, there are various different metals involved, and in today's current prices, as a rough idea, you would be doing well to say buy one for scrap value at about £30,000. You know, maybe if you want to sort of be sure to get the locomotive, you would perhaps have to pay £50,000. This is a master key which basically unlocks the driving controls.
It looks like the key off a grandfather clock. If you've ever wound one up, that's pretty much what it looks like. And it goes into a hole, And you turn it. It's as simple as that, is it?
It is, yes.
We now have control, Houston.
This is it. And this mechanically unlocks the controls and allows us now to operate the controls. So what will happen, basically, is this particular locomotive requires an oil pump and a coolant pump to run to prime the engine first, and also a compressor to run to produce air to operate the control systems. So first of all, we'll hear those run, and then we'll hit the start button and hope the engine starts.
When was the last time you turned this over then?
About in between Christmas and New Year.
So this is a bit of a thrill for you as well, is it?
Well, we're used to this sort of thing.
Oh, come on. It's fun.
It's when it doesn't start that the fun begins.
Well, I'm pleased you see it that way, Ron. I can hear something moving in the background.
So this is the sound of the compressor and the pump running to charge the system up.
How do you know when it's ready to push the button to go?
Well, in the manual it says wait 60 seconds, but experience tells you by the noise of things running and when the compressor cuts out, you have a rough idea. So now the compressor's cut out and there's only the coolant and lubrication oil pump running. So we give it about another 15 seconds.
And which button do you push on here to start it?
There's two buttons on the driver's desk, engine start and engine stop.
Oh right, yes, I hadn't seen that.
And it's literally as simple as...
I can feel the whole thing rocking. Something's turning over in the back there. Is that sounding good? And how many miles to the gallon does it do?
At full load, I would expect about, say, 4 gallons to the mile.
Right, okay. Well, we'll pass over that, shall we?
But with the current prices of diesel fuel, this obviously we use gas oil for this locomotive because it's not on the road, but even the prices of gas oil, you know, a fuel fill-up, as it were, will cost about, say, £6,000-£7,000.
And how often do you do that?
As infrequently as you can get away with it, basically.
Do you want me to shut down?
Yes, that's fine. Yes.
Right up. And you'll hear the sound of the beast coming to rest.
What a thrill. Yes. That is fantastic, isn't it?
It is indeed, yes.
It must be nice, though, to have that royal connection. It sort of gives it a bit of extra mystique, almost, a bit of romance, doesn't it?
If we can get a certain royal to come and patronise our railway, that would be even better.
Why not?